Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Before I get started, I'm going to ask if the junior church can go ahead and be dismissed. My little brother tends to forget that. He gets all worked up and excited about church, and he tends to forget that part of it. There is definitely something that I feel that I have from God tonight. Been toying with it for a while. Been listening to a lot of sermons based off of it. Got an opportunity to sit and meditate a little bit today on it before my whole world went chaotic. You know, I come in church feeling all sorry for myself, Brother Doug, thinking, you know, I must have been the only one in the world that had a bad day today. I come in, I started hearing people's stories, and I'm like, okay, mine wasn't near that bad. I'm good. I'm ready to go again, you know. When you're talking to 50, 60 different people, and some of them are kind, courteous, and considerate, and then you get to talk to some that aren't so kind, courteous, and understanding, you know, you kind of go, man, God, is everybody in this world grouchy anymore? You know? But you can go ahead and be seated if you want. I appreciate you standing, but I'm going to read some things to you. It's going to take you a minute, and I don't want you to stand up and get too tired, because I do want you to do this, though. I want you to do this for me. Shake it off. There you go. Shake off those heavy bands today. You know, the enemy is all about bringing you down. You can be as happy and joyous as you want to be, Brother Doug, and then all of a sudden, one little bitty sentence is said to you and your whole world does a tailspin. Next thing you know, you got to spend the next 4 or 5 hours trying to fight out of that rut that you just allowed the devil to pull you into. You notice I said you just allowed the devil to pull you into? You don't have to be a partaker of that kind of stuff, you know? And I was listening to my little brother bringing across the scriptures tonight, you know, and I'm looking at him. I'm going, man, he's right up on my message, you know? He called me last minute. And he said, hey, Bub, he said, I hate to dump this on you last minute, but I'm going to tell you for a minute, brother. He says, I hate to dump this on you last second. He said, we moved the youth night because of missionaries. And I said, yeah, we talked about that. He goes, you got something for tomorrow? And I went, yeah. You know, because the Bible says be instant and in season and out of season. You know, and if you don't have something already prepared, get it prepared right away. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about sanctification and justification. This might turn into a shouting message. This might turn into a teaching message. We'll just see which way God steers the wheel. We'll see where we go from here. You know, first and foremost, I'm going to ask my son, if he would, to stand up and pray over the Word of God for me tonight. Brother Levi. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Grant it, Lord. You know, I've been toying with this, like I said, for a while, and I didn't really know how to bring it down to where I could understand it. And I was hoping that somewhere along the lines I'd be listening to something, maybe a song or, you know, a word or somebody talking that might kind of start to break the ice where I can kind of work my way through. You ever been like that where you get to a certain point in your life where you got to kind of chisel away a little bit to get through the ice, and all of a sudden when you're through, you feel like you've done something great, and you got this great big burst of energy and authority in your life again, and then all of a sudden you're faced with another big block of ice in front of your life, and you got to slowly chisel away. You know, I like to think of those as prayer times. Those are the times that I can't make it alone. Those are the times that I lean on all of you. And that's what that's all about, because you can't make it alone. There ain't no ifs, and buts, or maybes about it. We need a good group of people to have our back. Sanctification and justification. It says, from time to time, human beings are commanded to sanctify themselves. For example, God commanded the nation of Israel, consecrate to me every firstborn male. God said through Peter, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. One sanctifies Christ by responding to unbelievers meaningfully. I'm going to break that down for you a little bit here in just a second. Out of a good conscience and faith, faithful life, God calls his own to set themselves apart for that which he has set them apart from. Sanctify. Therefore, becomes a synonym for trust and obey. Another name for this action is consecration. to fail to trust and obey God, another to sanctify God as serious consequences. To fail God, to allow God to take control of your life, it has serious consequences. Dire straight consequences, to be honest with you. Not a situation like if my son disobeys me and there's a belt that goes out, and when he was younger, I don't do this anymore, but when he was younger, I'd take a belt out and whoop him. That's a situation and a little bit of the same scenario. I was listening to a story the other day about a man that said that he made a bad decision. See, I don't believe in mistakes. You will never get Brother Carl to admit that there are mistakes. There is decisions that are made that have consequences to be paid, plain and simple. And, you know, I was listening to the story about this young man that said he slipped backwards, and he said, you know, all the other times I kind of just would have prayed a little prayer and asked God to forgive me, and it would have been okay, and we moved on. He said, but this time God's got me. He said, God's been chastising me. God's been talking to me. God's been dealing with me in my spirit. And I said, you know what? That's called justification. God justifiably can get on your backside or get in your heart and cause you to change your life to allow him to sanctify you. See, sanctification comes when God says, hey, you're saved. You know, I heard a pretty good story about this the other day. I was listening to a preacher talk, and he said, you know, when a man or a woman comes into the church, they get baptized, they get filled with the Holy Ghost, evidence speaking in tongues. They walk out of the church and something bad happens and they died. Right then they're sanctified, they're kept, because that's what God does. He sets aside those things, and at that point in time, you have no sins to be accountable for. So you're sanctified through the renewing of your flesh and the renewing of your spirit. Therefore, heaven is home. But if that same individual walks out of a church after being baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, glorifying God, and goes out and they make it home and they get to go to bed that night and say a prayer, you know, then justification kicks in. Justification requires some changes on our behalf. Justification is what we do to make God understand that we love him and we're willing to allow him to be able to be control of our life. You know, I used to have this real big issue. You can call it a male ego, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but I believed when I first got married, my wife was supposed to obey my every word. And that's far from the truth. Brother Mike laughs. That is far from the truth, okay? That's not the way that works. The Word of God said for me to respect my wife, live a godly example before her that she desires to be more God-like me, or vice versa. You know what I mean? So then justification, Brother Joe, justification takes over. Instead of losing my temper with my wife and trying to make her be obedient to me, I listen to what she's got to say and we reason with each other. There is no difference in that when God comes knocking at your door late at night and says, hey, wake up, I got something I want to talk to you about. And you go, well, no, wait a minute, God, it's 2:00 in the morning. What are you doing? God says, I don't know no time limit. I don't have no time compass to go by like you do. My hands don't twist around a little dial and go 1:00, 2:00. My spirit moves when it chooses to. And, you know, as you jump into that and you wake yourself up and you go, okay, God, is this for me or is this for somebody else? Who's ever been there? Who's ever been woke up in the middle of the night and go, okay, God, is this for me or is this for somebody else? And then God's, you know, I remember one time I was laying in bed one night, woke up from a sound sleep, wide awake, tears running down my face, Brother Brad, and I'm going, man, what's going on? I've not done anything wrong. But Paul, I didn't know what was happening. I felt a conviction in my heart, and I'm like, God, is this for me? And I'm like, no, it's not for me. So then I began to listen to the Spirit of God, and I started calling off names. And when I hit that one specific name, the tears really began to flow then. So I jumped out of my bed, got down beside my bed, and I began to pray for that individual. You know, that's all justification. God justifiably used you to pray that somebody's life changes. That's justification. And you know what? If you come to church and you get up here and you raise your hands and you praise God and you put on this big old persona that you got something special that was handed to you, because let's face it, this is the sanctified area right here. And when the Spirit of God rose off of the podium and it goes down and it hits Brother Brad, and all of a sudden Brother Brad goes, man, I got something really good tonight. And then Brother Brad goes out here, and the very next thing that happens, he starts getting an attitude because somebody cut him off driving down the road. He basically just gave his victory back to the enemy. That's all you did. You gave your victory away. See, God didn't take it away. The enemy didn't take it away. You gave it away. You allowed the enemy to get inside of you and take something that shouldn't have been given to him. You know, it's an amazing thing to me how that we try to justify and sanctify ourselves, and we try to blow our own horn, you know, sound our own trumpet, however you look at it, float our own ego, inflate ourselves. We can't do that. That's not ours to do. God does that through the things that we do for him. You know, the Bible says that you do it freely because we don't want no reward back for what we do. You think about that. If you get up and you go up here and you lay your hands on somebody and you go, yep, I went up and laid my hands on that brother or that sister and they were healed, do you realize you got your reward right then? You got your reward right at the moment you spoke those words. There's no more reward for that. It's kind of like working a week away and you're getting pay on Friday. You don't get to go back and say, hey, wait a minute, I've done this much work in 40 hours and you only paid me for this much work. It don't work like that. You get paid 40 hours, that's what you get paid. You can't go back and say, let's negotiate this. God doesn't negotiate with us. So when we give ourselves over and we allow the enemy to use us, you know, I caught myself in that position today. For the last 3 or 4 days, I've been really pumped up at work. I'm like, man, I've got a new position coming. I'm excited. I can't wait to get there. So, you know, I've been really super cordial to everybody on the phone. I've been really nice to everybody on the phone. You know, and for the most part, everybody's been really great back until today. And the devil knew that I was coming to speak the word of God tonight. You think the devil don't know your next move before you do? You're wrong. He already knew that Brother John was going to call me yesterday and say, hey, Brother Carl, can you speak tomorrow night? He already began to prepare a path to take the victory away that was headed this way tonight. He already started. God already prepared it, so it's up to us to walk the path therein and stay inside the lines. You know, when we used to play football, you run out of bounds, you get called out of bounds. That's where the play stopped. Guys, life is not a play. It doesn't stop. It's a constant justification of what God has in store for you in life. He has blessings. And yes, sometimes he allows the enemy to try you. I was talking to a brother last night. He said, man, I don't understand. I've been doing really good. He said, but I'm feeling something evil in my home. Feeling something evil in my home. He said, what do I do? I said, you show the enemy you're not afraid of it. That's what you do. You gather your children up. You gather your girlfriend or your wife or whatever the case might be. And you get in there and you get yourself a prayer circle going. You send that thing on its way. You don't have to bow to the enemy. The enemy bows to you. That's already been told to you in the Word of God. You don't owe the enemy pleasure. The enemy owes you. You don't have to give your victories away. That's what sanctification and justification is all about. So many times we get misled by the enemy, and the enemy being here because we allow this thing to begin to think pretty rapidly. This thing begins to think even more rapidly, and this thing begins to speak extremely fast. And then we end up destroying what God's trying to do for us. It says, the triune God sanctifies the Father, sanctifies by the Spirit and the name of Christ, yet Christian faith is not merely passive. This isn't passive, guys. This isn't something we just enjoy when we want to and we come back to it and we get away from it when we don't need it and we come back to it when we want it again. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work that way. When I put on God, I didn't put on God to wear him until I didn't need him anymore. I put on God to wear when my tough times came and my good times were around. You know, yesterday we was at my little brother's house and we had a big family cookout and everything else, and I was standing out on the banks and I was casting reel out and I'm thinking, this is heaven right here. Just as something as simple as that, because you know how long it's been since I've been able to do that? I've allowed myself to get so busy and get tied up with things that I haven't even stopped to smell the roses. God's all about stopping. He's all about finding your way back to the altar. He's all about finding your way to your knees. You know, I've talked many times about how that we get together, my family and I, we get together in the front room and we pray. We pray every night. And you know, the one thing that I love about that is sometimes I get so aggravated. I'm gonna tell my family here for a second. Sometimes I get so aggravated because they'll get out and they'll run around and everything, and then they'll come in like 10, 11, 12 o'clock and go, hey, we're going to pray? It's like, where were you at when we set aside the time to go pray? So now you want to walk in the house and you want to say, we're going to pray now? That's not right, guys. That's not right. That's the bottom line. It's not right. If there's a time set aside to pray, my family should be in the house and we should be rather around holding hands and we should be praying. God don't wait for us. Because the blessings that could be coming through that prayer, God's going to go, well, you didn't think it was important enough to set aside out of your schedule to come in here and pray. So, you know, I think I'll just move on over here. Well, Brother Brad, he's got his family together down here in Whiteland. You know, he's got his family together and he's praying. How about us take the blessings I had in store for you and I move them over here and give them to Brother Brad because of your disobedience. You see how that works? That's justification. Justifiably, God took my blessings and gave to Brother Brad because I wasn't humble enough to pull my family together at a certain time when God said, hey, this is the time I need you to pray. You know, so many times we get caught up when we're like at work and we're busy in life and you'll see the little text light up that Pastor John put together, pray for so-and-so, and you go, okay, I can do that in a little while. And God says, well, what about if that was you that had that prayer come out? God didn't ask me to get up in my office and raise my hands and shout to the top of my heels, hop top of my lungs and say, you know what? Hey, I got a God to serve and I know God's going to do all things. He can take care of everything. God didn't tell me to do that. God said, pray. Sometimes a small, meek, humble little prayer is what it takes to make a difference. It says that since we have these promises, dear friend, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. No one may presume God's grace is sanctification. Peter reminds believers to be diligent in making their calling sure and elect. You can't tell me, you will never convince me, that when you came to this altar, you prayed a sinner's repentance prayer, that God didn't have a gift and a calling right there for you, right then in your life. God had that gift and that calling. You got to put forth the effort to make God understand that you're worthy of that gift and calling. You know, I've heard a lot of great messages preached across this pulpit in the last little while. I've seen some people run around the church. The other day after I had my hernia surgery, I was sitting back there and I'm like, man, I just want to get up and I want to shout. I want to dance. I want to scream to the top of my head. Let people know how God has healed me and how God has delivered me. And then, boom, here goes Brother David. He's running around the church. And I'm going, don't go. You know, I was scared to death that I was going to get torn. I was afraid I was going to tear something up because all you hear from the doctors is, don't overdo it. You got to be cautious. You got to be aware. You got to be a little bit weary about it because you might strain yourself again. You might tear my incisions out. You might destroy what I did. And God's saying, run around the church, and I'll take care of what they didn't do. I will heal you. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? So many times we rob ourselves of the blessings because we listen to this and we don't listen to this. God don't know no boundaries. But I will tell you one thing that did happen to me that night or that day. I truly feel that God healed everything inside of me because I've not had no pain. When I went back to the doctor, he goes, how's it going? I said, man, it's going great. He said, really? He acted kind of shocked. I said, yeah, it's going great. I said, you know what? I've not had no pain where you've done the surgery. I said, I got a little bit of pain in my back, but I think that's because I fell asleep in my recliner. He goes, well, okay, I guess there really ain't much for me and you to talk about then, is there? And then the next thing he said to me, I try to apply to my life in all aspects of my life. He said, you're a smart man. You know when it hurts, don't do it. God said, you know when it hurts, don't do it. Don't do it. If it's going to hurt you spiritually or if it's going to hurt you naturally, don't do it. Don't do it. I just read to you where Peter said, make your calling sure and elect. If your goal is to go out here and prove everybody wrong all the time, you're not a child of God. I'm sorry, you're just not. It don't work that way. God didn't go around and walk upon the face of the earth and pointing out people and saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, and I'm going to show you why you're wrong. I got the word of God to back up why you're wrong. He didn't do that. He lived a godly example for them that made them want to change that they wouldn't do wrong again. That's making your election, your calling sure and elect. There's so many things that we talk about that sidetrack us. Brother Caleb, if you could, put those scriptures up on the board for me, will you? Exodus 13 and 2, it says, consecrate to me every firstborn male, for the offsprings of every womb among the Israelites belonging to me, whether human or animal. God asked first that you satisfy him, nothing else. You satisfy God. My wife's satisfaction comes second when it comes to God. And mine better come second when it comes to God in her life. You got to satisfy God in order to satisfy your spouse, your children, your jobs, your relationships with your friends. You got to satisfy God first, because God takes care of satisfaction after that. He will begin to bring peace in where there seemed to be no peace. You know, I watched Brother Mike the other day. I'm telling you right, man, this man is amazing to me. Brother Mike, I got to give you some roses, sir, because I truly believe in giving roses where roses are due. When I know that your mom was passed away and I know that you were broken spiritually, you were in here and your hands were up and you were praising God. And you know how much encouragement that gave me? It's like, if Brother Mike can praise God through what he's going through, why am I any different? Why shouldn't I be happy and praising God for what I'm going through? That's amazing to me. You look around and you can find those examples all the time of justification. Brother Mike's happy, so therefore Brother Carl's justified to be happy. The Bible says that when one man is blessed, many are blessed. Many are blessed. Think about that. 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." I go back to this sermon one time, or this little conversation my father-in-law and I had one time, and he asked me, he said, "Why do you serve a God that took your only child?" You know how really down deep I had to dig? Because the flesh inside of me was angry, was bitter. My son, my only son, was taken away from me. But the spiritual man inside of me said, "Dad, you know why? Because you're looking at a man of second chances." I fell God so many times, daily. Daily I fell God. But God don't take his glory away. He doesn't take his salvation away from me. He makes it known to me, "Hey, you failed me in this area. Just don't do that again." You know, I learned something with my son Levi, okay? I learned it. When Levi was little, Dad could take control and could correct and lead him and guide him. And as he grew and he became a man, I had to learn how to re-talk to him. I had to learn how to re-talk to my son. So many times we have to learn to re-communicate with God. So many times we as humans, we get so busy, we forget what the real calling is all about. And we go, not right now. I'll do that later. You know, so many times I've said it home. So many times I've said it home. I'll tell it myself, because I'm a firm believer in examples. So many times I said it home. Not now, but used to. I'd said it home, and God would say, "Grab your Bible and read your Bible." I'm like, "God, just give me another hour. This movie's almost over." You realize I was making that TV my God? I was putting that TV before God. Now I get up in the morning, I'm back to reading my Bible. I'm back to sitting at home and studying. I go to work, and in my downtime, in between all those hectic phone calls, I'll look at my word, and I'll read my word a little bit. Just getting a little bit of a nugget here and there. God didn't tell you got to learn it all at once. God didn't say he was going to feed you all at once. It's kind of like feeding a baby. You don't just shove a bottle in its mouth and poof, it's an adult. It don't work like that. You feed a baby, you nourish a baby, you help it to grow. It prospers, and as it grows, it respects you. And that's exactly the way God treats us. He puts milk in our life until we can handle the meat. Brother Paul, then when he puts the meat in our life, he expects us to chew it up and swallow it and use it for the nourishment of our body. He don't expect us to chew it up and go, "Puh, that was nasty. I don't need that. Oh, that correction didn't apply to me." You know how many times I've sat and watched people in church and the correction would be rolling across the pulpit? I've seen it with ministers in here, watched them preach the word of God, and I'd look over and I'd see tears just rolling down some people's face. And I look over and I see other people going, just talking like they didn't mean a thing to them. Shame on you. I'm just going to tell you to your faces, shame on you. If you ain't got no more consideration than that, then maybe you need to find your way to an altar and get some consideration in your life. Because I promise you, if you were up here speaking or you were up here needed the need, you would want people to give your attention to you. I guarantee it. You know, that there's so many things that go along with this is what I'm talking about tonight. These are the sanctifications and the justification process that causes us to live a godly life. So many times, it's so easy. Now, Pastor John and I was talking about this the other day on the way to work. I don't even know if he remembers this conversation or not. We was talking about little disruptions in the church. Little disruptions here and there. Little bit of things just kind of go on around here, you know, and sometimes the Spirit of God will be blowing through this place like, whoosh. And all of a sudden, somebody will say something out loud or something will happen. A kid will get up and get rowdy, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just kind of goes, starts withdrawing. Brother John said, you know, the Word of God said that the Spirit of God is as tender as a dove. It's as skittish as a dove. You know, and that has never left me. When he said that scripture to me, I thought, man, how many times have I shooed the dove away? How many times have I shooed the dove away? I'm not saying I'm above what I'm talking to you about tonight, because I'm guilty of it. I'm just as guilty as you are. Pop, my grandfather used to have his favorite saying. He said, when you got one finger going that way, there's three others coming back at you. And you know what? I never knew what he meant by that until I started searching this out. And I'm like, that's me. Brother PJ, that's me. I disrupted the service. I didn't put my all in all into it. I didn't get into it like I should have. And because I didn't, Brother Bo may not get his blessing. Now, if I truly love Brother Bo, I got Brother Bo's back. I'm going to make sure that I'm paying attention to what's going on in the church. And if Brother Bo is being touched by God, I want to be there to be a part of that. See, this is all justification for what I'm talking about. Okay? It says, Numbers 20 and 12. It says, but the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me in the sight of Israelites, you will not bring the community into the land that I give them. Oh, my God. If that's not one scripture right there that will preach to you in a sermon all by itself, because you were disobedient, your family don't get blessed. Because you were disobedient, your family don't get blessed. Now, I'm not talking about because I was disobedient, my family doesn't get blessed. I'm talking about because I was disobedient, my family doesn't get blessed. You're my family. You know, there was over 3 million people that left Egypt with Moses. You think about that. Pastor John has his hands full trying to keep 120 in order. Could you imagine trying to do 3 million? And all of the things that was going on? And God go, well, Brother John, you know what? You didn't keep them in line. So therefore, I'm going to pull my blessing back from you. But boy, we get all offended. The pastor says, hey, don't do this. Don't do that. We go, now, wait a minute. Who's he think he is? He's the man of God that God set above us. He's the man that God called to lead us. You know, and I'm going to take you one step farther than that. Brother Joe, if I'm listening to, and things are being paid attention to, and Brother Joe's being blessed over, and Brother Joe comes to me and he says, hey, Brother Carl, you know what? I was praying about something last night. Man, I really don't know how to tell you this, but God told me to tell you this. Boom. And he lays out something that I already knew in my heart I was convicted of. Come on, guys. Nobody gives you conviction. You already know it's there. You just need somebody to speak it out. Just like I was talking to a guy on the phone the other day. He called me and he's just blah, 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 blah. Like that. I'm going, yeah, yeah, yeah. I understand. Yep, I got you. I know what you're talking about. And he blurts out the answer to his own question. And he kind of sits there for a second. He goes, I guess I didn't need to talk to you after all, did I? I said, no, you just needed somebody to listen that you could talk it out amongst yourself and you was able to figure out the problem. And that's what God asks from us. Just listen sometimes. He wants us to go blab all to him and tell it all about it, and then we end up answering our own question because we didn't think about it like that. And all of a sudden that little light bulb goes off above your head, and the big oracle starts speaking, and you go, oh, man, that's what that meant. That's what that meant. My God, that was so simple. I can't believe I was so stupid, Brother Bo, that I couldn't catch it. If I'm up here or they're up here praying and I'm back there doing things I shouldn't be doing, I should be up here praying. And if I'm not up here praying and if I'm not up here taking a part in something, then I may be robbing a person at the altar of their blessing. Because this is a group thing. We come in and we pray with each other. We fast with each other. We talk to each other. We love each other. We try to understand each other. And most importantly, we tolerate each other. You know how much tolerance God has to put up with some of us sometimes? Oh, my God. When I was a sinner, I was a darn good sinner. I'm not going to lie to you. I did everything I could do and got into everything I could get into. That's why now that I'm a saint, I want to be into everything and do everything that I can do this way. You know, there's so many times that I just lay awake at night. I lay awake at night and I listen to my wife breathe. It's kind of odd, I know. If you've never been in my shoes, you don't get it. But when your wife's almost taken away from you through death and you just lay there and listen to her breathe, you just kind of let tears fill your eyes and you go, yeah, my God did that. May not have been my prayer that got answered, but somebody's prayer did. Somebody's prayer got taken care of. You know, Brother Jason's over shaking his head. He's like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, Brother Carl. I know exactly. See, so many times, if you listen to what's being said, Brother Levi might get up here and preach you a message, and it might touch 5 or 10 people. Pastor John might get up here and preach a message, and it might touch 5 or 10 people. Brother Chris might get up here and preach a message, and it might touch 5 or 10 people. Brother Carl might get up here and preach, and it might touch 5 or 10 people. You realize right there is already 40 people been touched? So you got to look at the big picture. Not every message is for everybody, but it is for somebody. And that's just the way God works. You know, when I was listening to Kingdom speak the other day, they were talking about this, and Brother Daniel McKellar, he was talking about how that, you know, we try to justify ourselves. Man, guys, you know what? I get in trouble at work, and I can think of all these excuses on why I did what I did. I can try my best to persuade the people above me that I believe that I did the right thing. In the back of my mind, I know when I didn't. In the back of my mind, I know when I cost my company thousands and thousands of dollars. But because I didn't want to admit my guilt, I done everything I could to justify what I'd done wrong. That's not right. And that's exactly what we do sometimes, Sister Joyce, when we come to the house of God. We know what God's told us that we're doing wrong, but we're sitting around saying, well, Brother David did this, or, you know, Brother Paul did this, or Brother Bo did this, or Sister Diane did this. And God's going, they're not going to judge you. I am. You're not going to stand before me because of what they did. You're going to stand before me for what you did. You know, so don't be running around trying to clean up somebody else's house. That's what it means when the Bible says, wipe the mote out of your own eye. Then you'll be able to pluck the beam out of your brother's. You know what I mean? You got to clean up your own house. Pop used to say, you throw a rock into a pack of dogs and the one it hits is the one that yells the loudest. I found out in the world of Christianity, you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, because that's what we're classified as, just so you do know. Gentiles were classified as dogs. The one it hits is the one that cries the hardest. So many times, I sit back there and that rock, that spiritual rock, could come flying back over somebody's head, go, hit me upside the head, and tears just go, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. Oh my God, I can't believe Pastor John knew what I did wrong. Oh my God, I can't believe Brother Brad saw through my little smoking mirrors where I was professing to be something, and he saw through the light. He saw what it was all about. I'm a people watcher, and I guarantee you every one of you in here are people watchers. You know why? Because the Bible says, know them by their fruits. Know them by their fruits. Some people call it fruit inspectors. I don't want no sour, old, nasty, rotten peach laying in my bushel of beautiful peaches. I'm going to pick that thing up and get rid of it. That's exactly what it means when it says to come out from amongst them and set yourself separate and touch not the unclean things, saith the Lord. And sometimes, I've learned this too, sometimes you just don't have to say a word. Sometimes, if you just hold your peace, again, biblical reference, God will fight your battle and you don't even have to. You know, there's so many things that I want to get across to you tonight. There's so many things I've been thinking about this message, and I've been jumping all over this message, and I've nearly not laid out no good format to you other than the fact that I'm telling you, you got to be sanctified and justified. Plain and simple. You got to be sanctified and you got to be justified. If you get sanctified and you die tomorrow, you make heaven your home. If you don't, justification is headed your way. Trials and tests, deliverance, things are going to begin to shake your foundation. You know, I listened to a message one time and this young man said, I came here to pastor's name. He said, you know what? I look at the church like a building, Brother Brad. He said, you know, and I look at the man of God, or the Spirit of God in the man of God. And, you know, just like a mason, you got to pick the best brick for the spot in the building that you know is going to bear the biggest weight. You can't take a half-broken brick and put it over here in the corner and expect it to hold up the corner of the building. It don't work that way. God don't pick broken parts, guys. Every one of you are in here tonight because God chose you to be something special. He didn't halfway deliver you. He fully delivered you. Now it's up to you to be able to deliver back to God what God has given you, and that is salvation. You got to show God, hey, God, I'm really proud of this fact that you called me a child of yours. Hey, God, I really understand that chastisement, it's going to happen. Correction, it's still going to take place. You know, Sister Allie and I was talking about this the other night, and we was talking about how we used to get whippings. And she told me her little story, and I said, you know what? I just stood there. I took it. I was a man. I was going to take it, Brother Bo. There wasn't nobody going to make me cry. Well, nobody but Mom. And then Mom would whoop me, and she would whoop me, and I'd sit there and kind of flinch a little bit. Now, my little brother Ken, oh, my God, he was like whooping a wild lion. He was running around in circles, jumping up and down and everything else. It was funny to watch him get a whipping. My sister Ruby, same way. She'd scream and holler, oh, no, no, no. I don't remember John ever getting no whippings. I think Mom favored him more than any of the rest of us. But I would stand there, and I was going to take that whipping no matter what. You know why, Sister Joyce? Because I did wrong, and I knew it was coming to me. There was no justifying it. I did wrong. I knew it was coming my way. I remember one time getting called up out of the middle of the bed at 9 o'clock at night because my homeroom teacher called and told Mom I was still cutting school. And I heard, Carl David. I was like, okay, there's that second name in there now. I know I'm in trouble. Man, she come in there with a switch, and I'm telling you right now, she wore me out. That's one of the times I did kind of do a little bit of a dance in front of her, you know what I mean? I wouldn't gonna stand there and take that one, but you know what? God shouldn't have to do that to us, guys. God should not have to come in there and take a spiritual belt out and wear us out. We're grown men and women, for God's sakes. We all made the same commitment. We all came to the altar. We all prayed a sinner's repentance prayer. We all took the same oath. We all went to the water. Most of us were filled with baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and we know the changes that come our way. So why do we try to justify our wrongs in the sight of man and sight of God? I don't know why I throw that out there. That's just a little free thing there for you, a little nugget, if you want to call it that. I used to sit underneath with pastor, he'd say, that's just a little nugget for you right there. You know, so many times we just need to take our whippings. So many times we just need to understand that we did what we did. You know, I am so glad. I guess I can say this and say it loosely. No, I'm going to say this with honor. That's what I'm going to do. I'm glad that God called me to be a child of his and didn't take me home right away. I am very glad. You know why? Because of the examples of people around me, I've learned to be a better man. And I'm so glad that God didn't call some of you and take you home immediately. You know, I mean, that's a favorable thing. That's a favorable thing, don't get me wrong, to be able to be saved and die and go to heaven right then. I'm a proven man. I like to prove things. If I get in the garage and there's something broken, I'm not going to stop working on it until I get it fixed. My son totaled a car, smashed the motor and everything else. I pulled it in the garage. I sat there and I pondered on it for a minute. Brother Brad, I looked at it like, nah, probably not. Could be. And I went back in here. I shut the door, Sister Joyce. And I went in the house and thought about it a little while. Come back home the next day from work, and I walked in the garage. I looked down and was like, you know, that doesn't really look that bad. Nah, you better leave that alone. We'll get another car. Sister Jamie, a couple days went by, and I walked back out in the garage again. I'm like, you know, if I take this off and this off and this off, I can inspect the damage and see how bad it really is. Then I can make a decision on whether I'm going to repair it or not. I'm going someplace with this, so bear with me. The next day, I walked back in the house. I'm like, no. Levi talked to me like, nah, it's not repairable, Dad. I don't want to put used parts on it. I don't want to put used parts on a car. You know, it won't be the same. Never run right again, all this. You know, and I'm like, yeah, he's probably got a point. You know, out of the mouth of babe sometimes doesn't come all truth. But then I walk back in the garage. I look at it again. I'm like, you know what? If I take this off, take that off, take this off, take that off, that clears everything out that I can really see what the damage is. And then I found the wiring harness cut in half, and I'm like, oh, my God, this ain't worth saving. I wonder how many times God looked at you and said, oh, my God, this ain't worth saving, because we just won't listen. We just won't give in, and we won't let God do what God does. But to tell you right now, that car sitting in my garage, it's running. It's about to be back on the road again. And I said all that to say this: God can rebuild anything you tear apart. You can crash yourselves as many times as you want, and God still will put new life back in you again. Now, that requires a new bibber, okay? That requires sacrifice. That requires a little bit of justification and sanctification for God to go, hey, okay, he's worth it. She's worth it. to put some new spirit in to see where to go from here. You know, as the musicians come, I hope and pray tonight that I said something to you that causes you to really think about what you go through in your life. Stop trying to justify your wrongs. Start listening to what God's telling you to do. Let God clean you up. You know, this wasn't no shouting message. It wasn't no barn burner message. It was just something that I felt that needed to be told to you to get next to your heart, because sometimes we forget to shout. Brother Paul, sometimes we come in here, we get happy, we run all over this place, and we walk out of here, we tend to forget what the blessing was here. Sometimes you just got to slow down and read the instructions. Sometimes you got to slow down and let God say, come on over here and sit down. You know, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it back over to Brother John. And I use this example a lot, probably because it's one of the great examples of my life. And I say that with all sincerity. The greatest example of my entire life. I remember when I lost my son. And I remember going back home. My dad and mom took me home and put the key in the door, and I was shaking like a leaf on a tree, Brother Mike. I was shaking bad. I turned that door handle, and I walked in, and I hit my knees, and I just crawled to his bedroom. Got up in the bed, and I laid there, and I cried my eyes out. And I remember my dad come in there, and he sat down on the edge of the bed just like this right here. And he picked me up off the bed, and he set me in his lap, and he rocked me just like this. Dad, I will never forget that. I never will forget you doing that for me. And I remember him holding me and me crying my eyes out, not understanding why my wife and I's life was completely turned upside down right then, not understanding anything except for the fact that I had lost my only child to a drunk driver. That's the only thing I could think about. And as Dad began to rock me, I could feel the comfort from Dad beginning to kind of wrap around me. I could feel the sincerity in Dad. For the first time in my life, I felt how much my dad actually loved me. As he sat in that bed and he rocked me back and forth, I'm a 30-some-year-old man, and he's rocking me back and forth, telling me, son, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I remember getting up and walking, sitting on the front step and wiping my tears away and composing myself, and I said, Dad, please tell me there's more to life than this. And he said, son, there's more to life than this. I know I go back to that example a lot because that example means a lot to me. I had a natural father that was willing to put a 30-plus-year-old man in his lap and rock me and tell me it was going to be okay. And every time I come in this church, I feel my mother wrap her arms around me and begin to rock me and tell me all the things outside this building really doesn't matter anymore, because the Spirit of God is dwelling right here. My mother is taking care of me. My mother is comforting me. And everything else is completely irrelevant. I love the fact that God's got to break us, Brother Levi, before he can make us. I never will forget my son's message. So many times you've got to be broken to be rebuilt. I remember it very well. The altar's open. If you feel led, we'll be there. This, I think we should all be there. I don't know about you, but when the altar's open, that's where I get my renewing. That's where I feel like I can honestly talk to God and say, God, I've done an awful lot of wrong in my life. And you know what? Just like when my natural dad held me and rocked me, he didn't see all the bad things I'd done in my life. He didn't see all the sin that I'd done. All he seen was a hurt young man that lost his son. And he wanted to be there to comfort me. That's exactly the way God does for us. It don't matter all the sin that you've done in your life. It doesn't matter how many times you crashed and burned. God just wants to rock you and tell you it's going to be okay. I thank you for giving me an ear tonight. I hope and pray that I said something to you. I hope God said something to you through me that might cause you to go home tonight and just really think about it. Do I really want to disrupt the Spirit of God? Do I really want to hinder somebody else's blessing? Do I really want to take the chance on robbing somebody of something God's about to give them? Or do I want to sit there and praise right through with them and watch them be blessed? I'll take the latter, to be honest with you. I would rather watch Brother Brad, Brother Jason, Brother David, There's a young man. It's been on my heart an awful lot lately. I don't know what happened, and I don't have to know. But I can tell you he's missed severely. My nephew Elisha, when he used to walk up here, we'd pray together. I thought he would go nowhere, to be honest with you. I really did. I thought, man, this young man, he's going to be great now. He's going to step through and he's going to make some great decisions and God's going to bless him. And I don't know if it was his decision or somebody else's, but somebody robbed him. Miss Mills used to get together and they'd go to the church and they'd open the doors and they go in, they kneel down, they pray. There was no stopping it. And they didn't pray for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. There was times I'd watch them walk out of church, they'd be soaked wet with sweat. They weren't part of a church service, they was part of a prayer service. So I used to walk up here and put my hands around that young man. Come. I don't have that now. I don't know whose fault that is. Don't care. But I'm making myself a mission to go back and get him. I'm making myself a mission to go back and get him. So many times we forget people. Well, Brad, you've been there. I've been there. We both went into a backslid situation.
Amen. Stand with me all over this house tonight.